Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of the Daily Tap. It is September 19th. How is everybody doing today? Halfway through the work week. Hope you guys are doing well. Getting ready for week three of the NFL season. Getting ready for the kickoff of the college football Big Ten conference year. We're all ready for that. Also, to baseball humming along. And it's a perfect time for you to listen to the weekend watch list on Fridays. What's the weekend watch list? It is the top 10 shows, top 10 games that we consider for the week. Local, national. We kind of talk about them all. We make some predictions. We have some fun with it. It's a good time. You hear it on the Snowtap Network every Friday. If you have not checked it out yet, please do so. It'll be back on Friday. Daily Tap today, we're going to be chatting about the Brewers. We're going to also chat about the Packers offense versus the Washington defense. And then look at an interesting comment made by the University of Wisconsin's chancellor. All right. So the Milwaukee Brewers lost their third game in 4 days. They lose to Cincinnati 3-1. They struggled to get anything going offensively. Michael Lorenzen, who's been pretty good against the Brewers this year, kind of set the tone, and the Brewers really didn't do much on Tuesday night. They had some injuries, which were unfortunate. Travis Shaw left the game with a knee contusion. Lorenzo Cain has a sore intercostal. Intercostal, if you remember, is in the rib cage. It's an injury that Ryan Braun dealt with a lot back in the day. He has dealt with it a lot recently, but it was something that I think Braun went on the DL a couple times for it. So obviously, Lorenzo Cain and Travis Shaw both being hurt with 10 games left is not ideal. It is not great. Shaw's being a bruise. Hopefully, getting both Shaw and Cain days off today with the Thursday off day will help out. Now, granted, I'd argue that today is a kind of a must win. You'd at least want to salvage a 3-3 homestand before heading out to Pittsburgh. Not obviously what you wanted. The Brewers obviously were playing a little bit above their heads. It's clear that they came down to earth here in this last week. I mean, and we won't have, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to have the conversation about did the Brewers peak too soon. I think, though, that is it's bubbling, right? It's a take that obviously is in the mix. It's in the sort of mixer of did the Brewers peak too soon, and now are we going to have to sweat it out here in the last 10 days? I will give him credit. Mike Heller did a great job sort of breaking down sort of the baseball math of it. Funny enough, if the Brewers did win, I think they win, they had 11 games left, and I think if they went like 8-3, they would have actually got to that 93 win that we talked about, which is incredible. Or 7-4. No, it'd be 7-4. So the race to 93 is still possible. The Brewers only can lose three games going forward. But basically, Heller broke it down that here's what would have to happen for all of the shit to fall apart. I mean, really, what you do not want for the Brewers and what's worst case scenario is like a 4-7 finish. Now, you're 0-1 to start. You have 10 more games to go. I think the Brewers are okay. I'm not pushing any panic button. I'm going tonight. Granted, I went a couple Wednesdays ago. It did not go well. We got Matt Harvey versus Gio Gonzalez. I am hovering. I would say I'm like circling the panic button. So the panic button's out there. I'm just sort of, I'm its friend. I'm looking at it, but I'm not necessarily fully saying, oh my God, this is worth freaking out over. Because I just think that baseball, it's not even that it's a long season. It's just, it ebbs and flows. It's a big ass roller coaster. It's never going to be all the time winning. It felt really good to win all those games and have that hot streak, but every team comes down to earth. I mean, look at the St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs even. I mean, It's part of baseball. It's not, you're never going to stay hot for, it's not sustainable. I mean, that's why the A's winning, 19 games and the Indians winning 20 games. I mean, that's incredible shit. I mean, that's stuff that just does not really happen. So anyone who's, I guess, upset about the Brewers right now should just sort of relax a little bit. If they lose the next two games, let's say they lose tonight and they lose Friday, then yeah, we should be in a full-on panic. We should be, you know, being all concerned and saying, well, this is a race, and are we going to have sort of one of those chaos situations? But I don't think the time to panic is right now. Also, too, just a couple other quick Brewer notes. First of all, I do not think they're catching the Cubs. Cubs won again last night, so now their lead is, I believe, out to four games. Four games, 10 games left, not looking great. I think to tie with the 7-4, they needed the Cubs to go like a 6-6. Obviously, it could happen, but they play the White Sox next. They're home the rest of the way. They're in Chicago, I think, on Friday, excuse me. But they're home, essentially, right? Same city. But anyways, I mean, the Cubs are gonna do this thing. I think we're on to the wild card, to quote Bill Belichick, because I don't really see any way that the Brewers come up and get this division. Is it a disappointment? Is it a bummer? I guess, but not really. I don't know. I think the Cubs are a better team. I think overall the Cubs are a better team. I really do. I think on paper, and they know they're playing a good baseball right now. So then they're taking advantage of an Arizona team that is ice cold. And sometimes it's about when you play that team. And the Brewers did the exact same thing to Arizona earlier this year. And, you know, it was a big part of the May streak, was winning 5 or 6 games against Arizona. I mean, they were just really bad when the Brewers played them, and the Cubs are reaping those same benefits. Chase Anderson struggling yesterday. Not great. Not great yet. Not for great for Chase Anderson. I really don't know how you can pitch Chase Anderson at Miller Park. I just think going forward, Chase just can't. He's given up 30 home runs. I mean, he's not looking at his fastball. He is just, I mean, he's become a gopher ball pitcher again. And granted, was fine, wasn't really fine. I mean, he didn't make it out of 4 innings. They went with Taylor Williams from there. Obviously, Taylor Williams did okay. But Chase Anderson, man, I don't know if you even can start him. I mean, you don't want to start Freddie Peralta, because Freddie's kind of at an innings limit and they're trying to avoid him. But, I mean, Brandon Woodruff has been really good out of the bullpen in long relief. Brandon Woodruff has started this year. Is it really that crazy to have Brandon Woodruff be a starter and obviously have a guy like Chase Anderson ready to go? I mean, odds are, though, you may not need that fifth starter come playoff time. I mean, if you do get into the LDS, you pretty much, everybody goes with a 4-man rotation. So it's probably Chacin, Miley, Davies, Gonzalez, and then Chacin again for game number 5. Or Gonzalez goes up to pitch game 3, I'm not sure. And maybe that's it. I mean, it's Chase Anderson isn't needed, and I don't know if they should fuck around with another Chase Anderson start. I don't know if it's worth it right now. All right, before we get to the Packers, I did want to make sure you guys knew all about Part of Murph's Fantasy. It is our fantasy football show. It is 10 minutes long, so it basically is the perfect Saturday podcast, because you're driving around, you may be just going for a walk, whatever. You're just trying to get yourself in that fantasy football mindset. Nolan Murphy will help you out with that. Check that out. Every Saturday, we'll be live talking about his DFS lineup, talking about answering your questions. So if you have them, tweet them at the Nolan Murphy. Check Murph out. We'll be back with that with week 3 on Saturday. All right, so the Packers offense versus the Redskins defense. Now, we're doing a little differently this week. Last couple times we did this on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday we looked at the Washington or the Packers defense against the offense. We're going to do this on Wednesday and Thursday just with Tabby the Keg. You got to be fluid, folks. So the Packers will welcome back Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones comes back. I think everybody wants to see Aaron Jones be the starter, be the guy, the lead back. Is that going to happen? I think not. I would be very surprised if Aaron Jones touches the ball 15 times or more. And maybe that's a question for Murph on part of my fantasy. I have that question for Murph. So if he wants to answer that, I know he listens. If he wants to answer that, I'd appreciate it. But I'm unsure. I think everybody wants him to. I think the whole world, it's one of those things. The whole world knows it. Like, everybody is on the Aaron Jones bandwagon. And it's not just a Packers Twitter thing. Like, Ben Fennell, Ross Olgram, the guys who do the tape stuff, they're on the Aaron Jones bandwagon. You then see Tom Silverstein write in the Journal Sentinel today saying that it's time to cut Aaron Jones loose. So everyone's kind of on board with Aaron Jones being the guy. Now, the Redskins have struggled against the run early on. I mean, very early DVOA rankings have the Redskins near the bottom of the rushing list. So there is a space to take advantage of. So I definitely think the Packers should have Aaron Jones as a 15. I think the touches should go a little something like Aaron Jones with 15, Jamal Williams with 8 or 9, and Ty Montgomery with 3 or 4. And I think that's what it should look like. I don't know if Mike McCarthy agrees with me. It's very early, like we mentioned, with DVOA rankings, but Washington checks in at number 4, and they were number 6 last year. Washington's pass defense is sneaky underrated. They are a monster, obviously led by Josh Gordon. They have some guys who really they don't necessarily have a weak spot. They don't have a place to exploit them from a secondary perspective. Secondary, and that's why the tight end's so vital. You saw them have the problems with tight end last year. They didn't necessarily. Eric Ebron did catch a touchdown against them yesterday or last week, but I think this is a big Jimmy Graham spot. Definitely a way for Jimmy Graham to get in. They do have a problem covering the tight ends in that soft middle, and that's where you take advantage. This also could be a spot for Randall Cobb. We thought that was the case last week. He didn't really show out. It was more on the outside guys. Obviously, Davante Adams versus Josh Norman will be a popcorn-ready matchup. I'm very excited to watch him. I don't know how much the Packers will put him on Norman. They will obviously scheme Davante Adams kind of all over the field. I wouldn't be surprised if you see more of Davante in the slot. What you're starting to see a trend of is number one receivers going in the slot. Whether Mike McCarthy realizes that early on, it'd be great. I mean, we do see it every time and again, but definitely I think you need to put Davante a little more in the slot position. That front seven, though, is also pretty mean. Even though they're having trouble struggling with the run, they're going to be coming after Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, Ryan Kerrigan, one of the best sack guys in football, he'll be obviously looking at getting into the mix against the guy like Aaron Rodgers, obviously being hurt. Mason Foster, not bad. They have 2 first-round draft picks in that front seven with Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne. So almost like the inverse of the Packers. The Packers have these first and second rounders in their secondary. The Redskins do it in their front three as they run a 3-4 defense. Allen and Daron Payne, both out of Alabama, both pretty mean defenders and can do some things. So Packers are going to be up for a challenge. As pointed out, I don't think this is a layup. I was maybe a little over my skis, feeling a little bit confident yesterday, and as I've kind of reined it in, I realized that this isn't going to be an easy one for Green Bay. That said, they still should be favored. So definitely think the Packers have a advantage here, but this defense is pretty good for Washington. All right, wrapping up the podcast, we did want to mention this real quick. So there is a trial right now going on with the NCAA. I'm not privy to a lot of the information. I won't try to break it down for you, but the Chancellor of University of Wisconsin-Madison testified under oath, and she said that if they were to pay the athletes, I'm not sure, you know, sports could exist. Basically saying that the reason that we have their student athletes, they're not just athletes, that they are part of the student body. Now, I feel like, and Rebecca Blank, by the way, so this is Rebecca Blank's the chancellor. I may have, there may be a long time blog where, and the video doesn't exist anymore. She did this whole video. It was like a PSA about not going to Mifflin. And it was just like, don't go. And then she would pause and then she'd say, don't go. And I had this, I basically did a running blog of this PSA. I'll try to find it and post it because, I mean, it is amazing. And if I don't, somebody tweet at me and let me know that I haven't done this and I'll dig it up and find it for you because, I mean, this shit was incredible. I mean, she's, to that point, she just sort of is, I would say, a little out of touch. Like, I get it, right? You want these people to actually be students and you don't want them to take it for granted. But what Blank, I think, is underestimating is the fact that these men and women work their asses off to be athletes in school. Like, they are struggling from that perspective. There are many people who are struggling from an income perspective and who go pro because their mom and dad can't afford them to not go pro, and they see the opportunity there. There are examples of, you know, people scraping by with different sort of things, and you see guys get in trouble, and sometimes it's because they get in trouble because they're trying to make themselves better and they're trying to get a side hustle, and it just doesn't work, you know, and it's unfortunate, right? So the fact is like, paying athletes, I'm not for just completely just having this. I've always been of the stipend mindset. Now, critics and people who want to go all in on this topic tell you that the stipend mindset doesn't work, but I think stipends per how much money the team makes. So football, obviously, they're going to have the biggest stipend. Basketball, then second, and however, and you just sort of go down the list, and that's how the stipends are developed. And then the stipend increases with being, you know, a starter, you know, maybe a bonus at the end of the year to sort of get yourself in that right position. I think you can create it. The problem is there is so many Division I college schools in basketball. There are, you know, obviously 130 in college football. And so you have to come to an agreement, and that's the problem. And that's why a lot of people think that there is going to be a breaking off of these, you know, schools. I definitely think that that is more possible than it is not. And it's interesting that it doesn't seem like Wisconsin would go with them, when I think Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, maybe even Michigan State, probably not. Michigan State is in a kind of a money pit. They're in a very big situation with the Larry Nassar stuff. But the first schools mentioned would definitely join a conference or join a league that would be focused on paying players and getting players in there, and you'd create this sort of, you know, top dog atmosphere, and you would not get top recruits because recruits would go to places where they could get paid. So we'll see what happens. It's an interesting comment. I think she is a little bit out of touch and needs to sort of talk to people like Barry Alvarez and the coaches around. People don't want to pay the players. I get it, but at some point it's going to happen. All right, that does it for Daily Tap. We'll be back tomorrow. Same podcast, same place. We'll talk about the Brewers Wednesday night. We'll also look at the Packer defense versus the Washington offense, a new look Washington offense, and anything else that tickles our fancy. All right, take care. Have a great Wednesday. We'll talk tomorrow. Later.